fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire of the Earth. We're here again today with Mike Bishop, who's been our guest so far this week. If you haven't had a chance to tune into Monday and Tuesday's programs, I encourage you to do that. They were just really inspiring, and Mike ended yesterday's program sharing really after beginning his life post-college and being in investment banking, getting married, having three kids, and everything going just right for him. He ends up hearing the words from his wife, "I'm not happy and I want to leave you," and ends up going through a divorce that he did not want in any way. And he was just sharing with us in the program yesterday the depth of the pain and brokenness. And Mike's agreed to come back today and kind of tell more of the story. So, Mike, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. And it's truly a real blessing at this stage in my life to really recount, you know, the steps along the way. So oftentimes I think we lead an unexamined life. Mm-hmm. And when we look at the hurt in our life, oftentimes rather than visiting those moments, you know, we tend to busy ourselves and press onward. And in so doing, there's some unfinished business. And as I sit and recount, you know, some of the steps along the way in my life, that point of divorce, no doubt, was a very, very defining point in my life. I can remember being in the shower one day, and as the water was washing over me, and as I was, you know, continued to just fight back the tears with no intention to be melodramatic, it was just that point in my life that was the game changer. I was truly crushed. And, you know, crying out to God at that point in time, "Are you there? Are you there?" I can remember a very defining moment in my life, and God sent me a series of songs. Actually, the authors that were Mark Schultz and Chris Tomlin, and one by Mark Schultz was "He's My Son." And that song invited me into a new reality for me, that rather than being Bish, the brother, the friend, the husband, and, you know, many roles in which
investment banker,
that God was inviting me to understand that I am his son. It was a very pivotal moment for me. But anyway, that really began a quest, because God sent himself to me through people. I used to think that angels were these, you know, the celestial types, you know, that perhaps they, you know, the thoughts that come to most of us. But I've come to understand that angels have names. And those names are many in my life now, where he presented himself to me with people who simply cared. You know, they loved me at a time when I felt unlovable, when I felt abandoned. And I experienced truly the love of God. And I remember one buddy saying to me, "Bish, run to Jesus. Run to Jesus." You know, when confronted with life's difficulties, so oftentimes that hole, you know, as men in particular, we try to fill it, and we fill it with a lot of different ways. And I am so thankful as I look back that rather than going the route of, you know, pornography, alcohol, and drugs and things of that nature, you know, God extended his incredible mercy to me, you know, through this invitation. And so there were many voices that came into my life that said, "Run to him, run to him." And in particular, there was one fella, Richard Cave, who was doing some work around our house, and he was just an amazing guy, and his heart is so pure in that of the Father. And the Lord sent him to me in a very unique way, and I can readily recall him asking or inviting me to go on a mission trip. And I thought, what is this? You know what I mean? But at that time, I was open. You can well appreciate that I was open to ways in which God might work in my life. And so, as it turns out, I went to Guatemala City, Guatemala, and there is an orphanage there known as the Potter's House. And going with the team to Potter's House was something that I would never, ever forget. At that time, as I was beginning to encounter Jesus, I was so naive and still perhaps so prideful that I thought that I was going to bring Jesus to the poor. But as our team gathered, as we made our way down into the dump, where actually at the time I believe that there were 10,000 people living either in or on the dump, you know, God showed me himself, you know, in the lives and in the eyes of these precious people that lived in the dump. Others would call them scavengers as they looked for aluminum and plastics and things of that nature to sell. But we called them treasures. And truly, they are treasures of the Father. I saw joy in them. I saw things that I had never seen amidst circumstances of complete desolation. I mean, it's like, how could these people evidence such joy amidst such difficult sets of circumstances? Well, it was there that God invited me into simplicity, that I had complicated my life. I had built essentially this kingdom, you know, this kingdom of Bish, if you will, and he was inviting me at that.
How did that happen for you in that context? Was it just the overall experience, Mike, or were there certain moments while you were there where the Lord spoke to you or really touched you? How did that all shake out for you?
You know, in that it was my first time, Peter, it was my heart. It really was beginning to beat differently. And God was revealing himself to me in a way that I had never experienced before. Born and raised Catholic all my life, I don't know that I was really connecting the dots, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, going to Catholic school, we were taught things, but I don't know that they were ever really internalized. And so I would learn in the dump that I think that I really met the person of Jesus Christ. I truly did.
In the people who were there?
Yes, in the people that were there. And two, you know, in the team, those that would gather and actually go on the mission trip too, as we experienced bringing sandwiches and water to the treasures in the dump. You know, as you can appreciate, that's a pretty overwhelming experience emotionally. And just to see these things, there is one experience in particular that I remember that I looked over and there was this little boy. He was probably 4 years old, the cutest little kid you've ever seen. But you can imagine, you know, the dress and whatnot that he had. He lived in the dump with his mother. And I looked over at one point and he had a blankie. And he was actually, there was a vulture that had the other end of it. And the vulture was actually larger than this little boy. And my heart literally bled. I was so fearful that this vulture literally could eat him. And because there was so much food readily available to these vultures in this dump, it wasn't inconceivable. But to look over and to see this little boy just, you know, some would say playing tug of war, this vulture. Well, it wasn't tug of war. I mean, this guy was fighting for his life at such a young age. And there are days when I close my eyes, I can see that little boy and that vulture. And just, it just broke my heart. Mm-hmm. It just absolutely broke my heart. And I think that the Lord was helping me to understand my heart in a whole new way.
Yeah.
Because there was true brokenness there. And he showed me to not only my brokenness, but the brokenness of his people that is manifested in many different ways.
And I think one of the questions is, could you have seen the boy had your life been as perfect as it was in your mind? I mean, in the contrast between the fast-paced, very successful young investment banker who's got everything rolled in his direction, and everybody sees what a wonderful guy he is, and wow, he's a mover and a shaker, and this guy's a special somebody.
Yes.
And then, bam,
yes,
the carpet gets pulled out from under you. It all goes south. You're just broken.
Yes.
You're wondering, will I ever get up off the ground again? Yes. Will anybody ever love me again?
Yes.
Am I even lovable? And what's wrong with me that this happened in my life and all that stuff?
Yes.
And it's all, this is where the enemy attacks us.
Exactly.
And he gets us to look, we can't stop looking inward. And we have a kind of blanket of shame that can be over us.
Yes.
And how does God speak to us? Through the simple, smiling face of these people in the garbage dump, God's presence in their life.
Yes.
And it just kind of blows up the paradigm.
Yes.
You know, they live in
it. Was a
your
whole,
heart begins
a whole
to
new,
go out. You forget yourself.
Yes.
You know?
And it was, and really, I think it was at that point in time that I came to understand my heart in a whole new way.
How do you mean that?
Well, it, and I know that this is going to sound kind of out there, but, you know, in this notion of Jesus in the box or putting him in the closet or, you know, putting on my Sunday best, you know, to go to Mass, I began to understand that we are an extension of the Father's heart. So rather than being separate, I could feel his heartbeat in me in a different way. And so my heart longed to then connect with others. and to see the plight of the poor. You know, in seeing them, I can also see myself. And I saw really how much we all have in common. Mm-hmm. And so rather than a life or a culture that invites us into the individual, that it's all about me, I came to understand that we are our brother's keeper. And quite frankly, you know, that broken man that we maybe see on the side of the street, that broken man is me. And so in coming to understand that that brokenness also is an invitation to redemption in our life, that's what happened to me, Peter, is that because things outwardly, if you looked at my life outwardly, you would, again, see this rising, for lack of a better word, star, which I by no means was a star, but things on the outside look great because you had the beautiful wife, the beautiful kids going to wonderful schools, drove nice cars, lived in nice houses and all these different things. But that's, you know, that's to a degree almost the face of the clown.
Yeah, interesting.
You know, the face of the clown conveying an image to the world that doesn't necessarily reflect, you know, the inward reality of what's going on. And so, you know, as my heart was beginning to beat differently, and as I was asking myself, what is it about this situation that is causing my heart to beat in a way that brought a joy that I had never experienced before. Before, you know, when a big trade occurred and all of a sudden there was a big commission or something like that, you know, there was this momentary happiness. It was like, you know, oh, that is awesome. But that happiness was soon fading. But what I experienced in the dumps of Guatemala, you know, as I met these different, you know, precious people, my heart beat in a new way that helped me to understand what joy is. And joy is, from my perspective, as we surrender our lives and we allow God to work through our lives in the lives of others. And so kind of hard to put it all into words, but that really is it was a defining moment for me.
I know there's more to the story, too. Can you join us again tomorrow, Mike?
You bet. Thank you, Peter.
Yeah, I really do appreciate your willingness to just share these experiences with us because, you know, some way the story of your life and that part of your journey was you had a clear plan for your life.
Yes.
You were building it. This is who Mike Bishop is.
Exactly.
And the more of these things that I add to my life, the more everybody's going to see how special Mike is
exactly.
And what a wonderful guy I am, you know. And in some very real way, you didn't even know the core of your own heart.
Exactly.
You're a stranger to yourself on a certain level. And that's not very, that's pretty common for people. And even though you wouldn't want to have to go through the pain of divorce and things that you went through, and somehow in that powerlessness and the sheer pain of what you went through, God was able to get your attention. And you needed him. You weren't performing for him. You just needed him to be real. Is God real?
Yeah.
Does he know me? And that's when his grace began to come to you in a new way. And boy, there is so much more to this story that we can share a little bit tomorrow. But I really want to thank you, friends. That's the God who loves you, friends. That's the God who never forgets who you are and pursues you and wants to show you your own heart. God bless you. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.